today, and we thank you for that, and give the Lord all the credit there, and so thankful. Psalm 107. Can we go to Psalm 107 there? Yeah, Psalm 107. Let's start there. It's Psalm 100, so give thanks to the Lord. There we go. Give thanks to the Lord. Stand, if you're willing and able, stand with us one more time as we read God's Word. Pay honor to Him. Thank you, fellows back there. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We get a little context here, what's going on. This is not only a wartime idea, but this is a freedom idea. I have been redeemed, I've been purchased, I've been rescued from the hand of the enemy. Gathered out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, the south, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way and found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is a awful situation. They have been liberated, but liberated to nowhere. They have been expelled in one sense. They are in deep need. Can you imagine as you compound one family, two family, 20, 30, 50, 100, 1,000 families, the needs of sanitation, the needs of water, the needs of rest, the needs of security. This is a terrible thing that's going on. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He that is God delivered them out of their distresses. How many of you can say amen to that? When you've been in a place where your back's to the wall and you don't know how it's going to work out, and God came through, and God did what only He can do. How many of you, that's worth thanking God for this morning? Somebody say amen. Verse 8, and He led them, He led them forth by the right way, they might go to a city of habitation. There is a home for the people of God. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll allow me this morning, I want to help us for a moment. I want to talk about the most wonderful time of the, and I want to finish that. The end. Would you pray with me right now? Father, front to back, left to right, the folks that are watching online, the folks that will watch later, would you allow this message to go out in spirit and in power? I pray that you would help us right now, speak to every heart. Thank you. Thank you that as we can send off, Lord, our friends, our brothers and sister in Christ, as we can be thrilled at the new adventures for Lucas and grateful for a son-in-law and a daughter who want to go and minister to an ailing father. I pray that you would help us this morning to understand that you are still wanting to work at Hardin Valley. And more than that, it is a great privilege to send them off with our blessing. And Father, as we focus now on the text, as we focus with the onslaught of advertisements and commercials and newspaper periodicals and mailboxes full of invitations to buy now, and the onslaught of Black Friday sales, would we put that aside for a moment and ponder what it means to be thankful, ponder what it means to be grateful? God, would you help us? Would you be with us right now? Father, I love you and I need you this morning. Focus my heart on what the text says, and I pray that I'd preach your word with power and authority. I love you and I need you. I pray in your son's name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I just need to do a little quick poll here, and I know it's going to be generational. Thank you. Quick poll here. Yep. All right. Everything's working back there. Quick poll, and I want to talk about the most wonderful time of that. I know some of you in your head are screaming at me. I know the next word, but give me a second or two. This is generational. Anybody growing up, you had to eat what was on your plate? You nod, wave at me. Anybody you grew up, and if you didn't like it, mom or grandma or stepmom would fix you an individual meal. Anybody grow up like that? You don't need to be ashamed. Not your fault if your parents did that. Anybody? How many of you right now, you have children, and supper time is a la carte. This one gets this, and this one gets that. And everybody gets their own meal. I'm not gonna really fuss at you. I'm just asking. I'm curious. I'm curious. Okay, a few of you. Okay, a few of you. All right. How many of you apparently didn't eat because you didn't nod for anything? You didn't eat at all growing up. I mean, you're like, yeah, I can really, I didn't eat. And those kind of things. It had to be epic. It had to be something that either made my brother and I physically, violently ill to get different meals at supper. And if it was something we didn't care for, how many of you the mom's spoonful was different than your spoonful? Anybody, grandma, grandpa, you know, whatever it was, you know, they're putting something on your plate you don't really care for, but if you put it on your plate, it'd be like a half an inch, you know, it'd be like three peas, or a little bit of squash. Anybody? Okay, some of you are like, yeah, I remember that. And I was always thankful if the dog was allowed inside, because you know you could get that to the pet. Anybody ever caught doing that? You know, feeding the animal or whatever. Cats, you know, you'd feed her the cat, and the cat just sling it up against mom's foot. That never worked out well. And we're there. It is different. And again, let me just help you. I'm not fussing at the way you raised your kids necessarily, or the way you were raised. I'm simply saying, folks that came out of World War I or World War II, they thought food was a great luxury. It was something hard to come by. If you worked on a farm and you killed or you grew most of what you ate, you thought a little bit about it before you threw it away. If you took the time to cook it, then you took the time to eat it. And the reason popular was such a Tupperware was such a smash, back in the back years ago, was because you were happy to seal that stuff back up, because you were gonna eat it again. My dad's mother, my grandmother, my brother and I spent the night with her just sporadically, but we would spend the night every so often. And she went to bed 7:30, and my brother and I were like, you know, sitting in our feather beds. It was a real feather bed, staring at the ceiling, going, "Well, this is fun," you know, and just and no air conditioning, no fans. Door was shut. The house was locked up. And every time we got up to do anything, she heard us and came a running. Anyway, that's probably why we didn't spend the night with her very much, because we complained about it. But anyway, we were there, and I forget, the next morning, she had the boys over at her house, her grandsons, and we were just part of many of her grandchildren. But she'd fixed ham and bacon and sausage and red-eye gravy and grits. She'd fixed eggs and seemed like a flapjack or two. And I mentioned biscuits already. She had two or three kinds of jellies, some butter and all. And she served everything. And it was just three of us. My brother and I were seven or eight at the time. And she was like, "You boys aren't eating much." And I'm like, "I've never seen this much food at a restaurant, Grandma." And, you know, she's thinking we're heading out to work in the field. You know, we're just trying to get enough food to get home, watch TV, because we hadn't seen it for a day and a half. You know, we're just deprived at this point. I'm teasing. But we're there, and I'll never forget, she had it, and she had every cup ready to go because she was sealing it all back up. Because she had heated it for us, cooked it for us, and she was immediately thinking, what they don't eat, we'll eat tomorrow. What they don't eat, and it was just the way of thinking. I'm amazed and impressed sometimes how thoughtless we are about things that not too long ago were a pretty good blessing. I'm amazed at us. I would suggest to you that we have a problem. We have an epidemic that we're not terribly grateful about things. And I think food is an obvious thing. I came across this study as I was looking back through some things this week. Dr. Nick Stinnett, it's at the University of Nebraska. This is about 15 years ago. He did a set of studies. He called them the Family Strengths Research Project. He identified six qualities that make for strong families. The number one quality, the most important in strong families, whether they're blended, whether they're in no divorce or anything like that, whatever it was the quality of appreciation. Family members who appreciate the other family members for what they do and who they are, that is the number one identifier in a strong family. I am thankful and I recognize you for what you do and for who you are. How many of you like just the sound of that? Somebody say thank you for what you do and thank you for what you are. How many of you like to be walked on like a doormat? Anybody in here like that? How many of you, yeah, a few of you like, I got that one pretty good. And man, we don't care for it. In fact, we start to resent it after a while when people don't appreciate us and don't do the things. I picked up a bad habit somewhere lately and I have got to break that. And my bad habit is that I will make my dirty cup or dirty dish all the way to the sink, but I won't bend down 6 inches and put it in the dishwasher. And if you read about me dying under mysterious circumstances between now and Christmas, it's because my wife has had the last bit of it, that I will not bend over 6 inches and put it in the dishwasher. And y'all pray for me, because if I don't start doing this, I'm going to have to live with one of y'all. And because I continue to get that look. And I continue to get that sideways glance, and I know what it means. It means I'm coming to live with one of y'all. And we're there. When we don't do this, and she doesn't care about that. She cares about the fact that I'm thinking it's her job to bend over and put it in there. And that's not how we live at our house. That's not how I think. I've just got a bad habit. I got a break. Somebody say, pray for the preacher. Amen. And we're here. We talk about thankfulness. We talk about gratitude. By the way, they did this, and they took this research into the workplace. And they said there needs to be about a 4-to-1 ratio of praise and criticism. You don't hear it said this way. You hear it called the sandwich method. Sandwich method. Now, here's something good. Here's something you got to work on. Here's something good. They do a 2-to-1. He says it's a 4-to-1. It's a 4-to-1. You think about it. The best jobs you ever had may not have been the easiest jobs. They've been the best jobs because people that you work with were constantly what? Man, you're doing a good job. Man, I appreciate you. Hey, man, here's half my sandwich. Here's half a Twinkie. And it's just that we're wired that way. We're wired to receive gratitude and to want appreciation. We're wired this way. So why aren't we more thankful? If we realize brothers and sisters saying thank you to each other and children saying thank you to mom, stepmom, stepdad, grandma, grandpa, if we know that makes us happy, nod your head if that makes you happy when somebody acts thankful. If somebody cleans their plate of food, as simple as that is, and doesn't turn their nose over, this is nasty. Anybody besides me, that just gets all the hair up on the back of your neck. If we know that in a workplace, we appreciate a supervisor or a boss who says, thank you, good job, way to go. If we get that, then why aren't we more thankful? If we know we're wired that way, makes for a better home and better work, well, why aren't we more thankful? Why aren't we more thankful? That's a good question, preacher. Why aren't we more thankful? Let me offer a couple things to you. Just get us started. I'm going to get in the text. I got two ideas in the text, and we're going to pray and be done. I want to help you. Most wonderful time. I think the first one is pride. Somebody says, nobody ever gave me anything hard for everything I've had, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just pride. I love what I heard one preacher say. Well, he tells a story about the supposed contest between Satan and God. This is all fiction, but it serves the point. The old preacher said they're going to have a contest, and Satan said, I'm better than you. He says, oh, yeah. It's back and forth. And so I tell you what, you think you're big stuff, let's make another man. Let's make another Adam. God said, that's fine. So he starts, and Satan kneels down there, and God looks at him and says, no, you got to go get your own dirt. Yeah, it's a joke. And, so that's why I don't tell jokes, because I can't tell them. I just tell funny stories because that's where I live. Look right at me for a second. You think about it. You got to get your own gravity. You got to get your own oxygen. You got to get your own water. You start thinking about how many things you're self-made man. I doubt that very seriously here. Man, it is pride. It is pride that keeps us from being thankful. It is pride. Well, I can't afford this. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or nobody's looking out for me. I got to take all those kind of things. That's just pride screaming at us. I want to show my gratitude. Say, is that what it is with young people? Romans chapter 1 talks about what? There'll be a generation come after who are what? Who are ungrateful, unthankful in their hearts. That is a condemnation of a rebellious heart. Say, that's not pride and impotence. I disagree. I think it's absolutely pride. If a 12-year-old, 90-pound, couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag, decides they're going to be rude to mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, that is absolutely rebellion and pride. God give us parents and grandparents. God give me as a parent a backbone to say, that behavior will not be tolerated here. Eat what's on your plate. Say thank you. Kiss everybody goodnight. If you're going to slam a door, it better be because a grizzly bear is coming in. Amen? Somebody say amen to this. Pride. Pride keeps us from being thankful. Pride keeps you. A critical spirit. A critical spirit keeps us from being thankful. I have friends. I have acquaintances. They have the spiritual gift of criticism. That's what they think. What they think. I had somebody Tuesday afternoon. Nobody here. Nobody lives around here. All of you sitting here giving eyes to each other. I had somebody Tuesday, man, just do their best to straighten me out. How many of you appreciate when someone unsolicited decides it's time to straighten you out? Anybody besides me? And if this person likes me, I don't know it. If this person knows my wife's name, I don't know it. Bless their heart. But every time they see me, you got a minute, Rodney? No. Come here. And that's not appropriate, to wear a green tie. Okay. You shouldn't use humor in your sermons and all. I'm sorry, I'm a doofus, I'm apologizing to this guy. I don't see him very often. Anybody in the critical spirit? I used to get tickled. We'd invite people over to the house, and when we lived in North Carolina, and there was a family we'd invite over, and the woman would walk around looking for cobwebs. And she'd just walk around looking at the corners and all. And I caught her one time running her hand on the top of the crown molding on the door. And I walked, she didn't see me. I'm like, what you doing, sis? Good thing she didn't throw her punch. But anyway, there, just critical spirit. Everything's yang, yang, yang. Everything's short little knife. Just critical. Man, it's hard to be thankful when you have a critical spirit. The world owes me a living. Everything's wrong. I'm the only one that's right. Critical spirit. Another attitude is carelessness. I think sometimes we're just careless. I'm so proud. We've got several students over at Pellissippi. We've got students here from other churches who come here when they're in town over at UT. We've got folks scattered around. Man, I'm proud of them. I finally got to go to a inter-varsity fellowship meeting Thursday just for a moment or two. I said, can I bring anything? They said, if you bring donuts, they will love you forever. And so I brought the donut holes. Donut holes, and they were very happy, and they were eating them, and the little skinny people had like 12 of them. They were eating as hard as they could go, and they had the powdered sugar on their lip, and it was great. And I was there. I had to get on to the next appointment. I didn't get to stay. But to a person, these young people, these college-age students, they looked. And I said, they're from our church. They said, tell your church thank you. Tell your church thank you. And I left the meeting of the college-age students studying the Bible at Thursday afternoon at Pellissippi Community College, opened their heart because they were careful to say thank you. Sometimes it just goes right by us. Some of you fuss at me or fuss at Andrea for writing a thank you note. I promise we do it because it's good manners. We do it because in our heads we don't want to ever let kindness come by us and not be thankful. Sometimes we're just careless. We're just careless. Maybe you observe some things. You observe what people are doing. There are at least two ideas here. I gave you a little quote there. Two ideas here, and I want to introduce them to you, and then we're gonna pray and be dismissed. Let me suggest to you, and again, this is how I think about it. Thanksgiving may be a once-a-year holiday. Wait for it. But living thankfully should be an everyday reality for the follower of Christ. Thanksgiving may be a once-a-year holiday, but living thankfully. There are two phrases I think ought to flow in every home. You with me? Three phrases. One is, I love you. I love you. I love you. I haven't done it much this semester because my son's threatened me. But I drop him off at the car line. And his little friends are around. Little friends, they're all 6 foot. And I don't know what they're feeding those boys over there, but anyway, in Powell, but it's crazy. And a teacher, And if I got the wind in me, and if I'm mischievous, if my coffee wasn't enough caffeine, I'll roll down the window and just as loud as I can, "I love you, baby boy!" At which point he hangs his head and acts like it's not me. And he's saying, "You shouldn't do that." He's taller than me now. I'm going to have to rethink my strategy. I don't think he can take me, but he'd give me a run for my money. "You shouldn't do that." Yeah. "That's what I do at home. I love you. Proud of you. FaceTime Allison. I love you. I'm proud of you." I think that ought to flow at a house. I think it ought to be like oxen. Number two, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you for the eggs. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the cereal. Thank you for doing the shopping. Thank you. Some of you live in a home. Some of you live in a home where the bathroom fairy is. You don't clean the bathroom, but it gets clean. Some of you live where the laundry fairy is. You don't do the laundry, but the laundry gets done. Thank you. Thank you. Watch somebody get sick or go out of town. You start doing their jobs. My wife goes out of town for 3 days. She comes back, "Man, I got roses, flowers, chocolate, donuts. I got granola. I got anything I can think of, because, woman, you cannot leave again. I do not want to do what you do. I do not understand how you do it. I would be cross all the time doing all this stuff. Please, for the love of all that's holy, don't leave again." Thank you. Third thing is, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do it. Forgive me. Keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. We don't say these things sometimes because we think about it as an event instead of everyday reality. Everyday reality. There's two ideas here. Number one, our thanksgiving ought to be expressed. Our thankfulness ought to be expressed. And our thankfulness ought to be expansive or great. Our thankfulness ought to be expressed. You're there in the text, given the text. Look at verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." I think our thankfulness ought to be vertical. I think it ought to be toward God, toward God. Anybody here ever get the blues, get discouraged, get down in the dumps? You know, the old timer said the mother grumps. I still don't know what that is, but apparently it's the blues. And anybody over here ever get, anybody? A few of you? All right, somebody raise your hand. Somebody like, "Nope." Let me give you a good exercise. I did this. I did this 6 a.m. this morning. As long as I could go, I started thanking God. I do this most mornings. I started thanking God. "Thank you, God, for this, for this, for this." When I run out of things like that, I start thanking God for who he is. "Thank you that you're kind, that you're merciful, that you're long-suffering, that you're gentle, that you're faithful. Thank you that you're all-powerful." When I run out of those, I start thanking God for answered prayer. "Thank you for answered prayer here and answered prayer there." Let me help you. All of you that are dating, all of you that are married, all of you that want to be married, whatever. You grab each other's hands and you start praying and you start being thankful to God for the other person. You want to start the day off with an amazing thing. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this. You call each other on the phone. "I'm thankful for this." And then you pray for the other person. When my thankfulness is vertical, first of all, it is hard to stay with the blues and discouraged. It's possible, but it's a little harder. My heart starts off with a day full of gratitude. Here's how we normally start. "God, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me with that. I need you to help me with the other." I'm not saying you never pray that when you're jammed up. I'm simply saying, man, thankfulness. Some of you can't pray well, but you could write well. Write it out. The expressiveness there. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Let me help you. You will hardly ever be what you ought to be this way, horizontally, till you've learned how to be vertically thankful. And that will prime the to say thank you, to say thank you. We were at the ball game the other night, and I told Ryan, I said, "Every officer we see, say thank you. Every officer we see, say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving." We've tried to train our kids in a restaurant. You see a serviceman, a policeman, a first responder. Walk up to them. Say thank you. Say thank you. Be thankful. Be a thankful person. Our natural instinct is to be selfish and give me. I want. The spiritual, the supernatural is to be thankful. And that starts with being vertically thankful. I'm amazed sometimes. And again, I don't make a big push about it here. But every now and then, man, we it'd be all right for us to just come forward and say, "God, thank you. God, thank you." I know when we go forward, everybody goes, "They're wicked. They're wicked." And other people who are not as wicked are coming to pray with them. And that's how we do it in the South here. I don't know. My pastor jammed me up one time. We had moved back. We were going through the deal, and And I was teaching at the college, and he's like, you know, you're going to need to join. I said, yes, sir. Oddly enough, I'd gone and worked at another church and never joined. They never asked me to join. I never thought about it. And then when I came back and I'm getting ready, he said, you know, you're still a member, and you just need to, you know, move off and act. He said, join next Sunday. I said, okay. So we go forward to the end of the service. The only problem is he preached on adultery. And, you know, I don't need to put my hand to heaven, but that's what he did. He preached on adultery. He preached hard on adultery. And then we went forward. My wife and I, hand in hand, forward. 700 people giggling at us. And went forward and knelt. And he knelt with us and got up and said, we're presenting them for membership. And everybody's looking at us like, you went forward in an adultery sermon. And we were there, and everything was okay, but he did that to us. I looked at him, I said, you know you were preaching on adultery, didn't you? He said, yeah, isn't it great? He said, I knew nobody was coming, so I made sure we had somebody respond. And I'm like, thank you, Pastor. That was wonderful of you here. And our thankfulness should be expressed. When's the last time you talked to God and didn't ask for anything? When's the last time you talked to God and didn't ask for anything? Didn't ask for anything. Our thankfulness should be expressed. You can old school it and say, they know. Fine. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and that's way old school. The Bible says express it. The Bible says express it. Our thankfulness should be large. Let me give you a couple things here. I think we ought to thank God for the blessings of life. You're there in the text, verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul waited in them. Verse 7, or verse 6, and he that is God delivered them out of their distresses. God's blessings in life. The blessings in life. I'm just wired differently. You walk in the back door with a peanut butter pie or pecan pie. I am thrilled for what you have given me, but I am overwhelmed that you thought enough of me to do something before you walked in the building. Man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Some of you know that we don't have any family around here, and you've taken our children in and loved them. That is a blessing of life. I woke up this morning and the heat knew to come on at whatever time, 6:30, and warm up the house. And that's a blessing of life. Blessing of life. I could stand up here from now till tomorrow talking about the blessings of life. And God is the author of all of those. He is the one who gives good things to us. There's a blessing. We can be thankful for the burdens of life. We can be thankful for the burdens of life. Show me. They wandered in the wilderness, verse 4, alone, solitary way, no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. They were discouraged to the point of distress. Verse 9, we didn't read that. He satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in iron, that is there in chains. We can be thankful to God for all those things. Verse 13, he saved them out of their distresses. It is in the dark places, the lonely places, the hard places that we really see God for who He is. Really understand what He's working out. And by the way, when you come out of those, you are different. You are different. I'm appalled at those who masquerade as ministers on television and radio sometimes, that if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't have any problems. Baloney. It is in the problems that we see the heart of God. It is in the problems sometimes we feel the hand of God wrapped around. It is in those awful times where God is doing what? Where God is working and purging and changing us and getting the dross out of our lives. It is in those times that God is molding and fashioning us. By the way, let me help you. There have been times in my life I looked up and said, God, I keep flunking the test because I won't learn the lesson. God, I'm ready to learn the lesson. I don't need to test anymore. By the way, there are times in our life where through no fault of our own, no sin of our own, people do what? People just bring burdens to us, bring hardships. They've sinned against us. had somebody a few months ago that was going on their life. I said, if nothing else, you can be thankful that they're doing that to you and you're not doing it to them. They're the burdens of life. I can be thankful in those burdens. I can be thankful for my blessings. I can be thankful. So how can I do this? Write down a few of these. Write down a few of these, and I want to do this. I want to help you. How can I say thanks to God? How can I cultivate this spirit? Let me offer you a few ideas here. Number one, some of you are writing these down. That's good. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. I can show my thanks to God when I spend time with Him. The only time I saw my kids is when they wanted money, I'd get a little bit of a complex and an attitude. Nod your head if that sounds right to you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Not just an hour, hour and a half a week. I'll be with you. Schedule the appointment if you have to. Be there. Thank you, God. You are worth enough to me to do this. I don't like to read. Listen to the Scriptures. Get the YouVersion app. Listen to it as you drive down there. Listen to it in the morning as you're getting ready. I want to spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Years ago, we were in a terribly busy season in our lives. My wife, we went somewhere. We were on our way. It was a couple-hour trip. She got out of the car. She's just smiling. I said, what is it? She said, I just enjoyed being with you. For just these hours. Spend time with it. We get that as a couple. We get that as individuals. Number two, you can show thankfulness to God when you forgive others. You can forgive others. Ephesians chapter 5, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. When I catch what God's done for me, I find it a lot easier to forgive other people. Anybody in here, you got people you need to forgive or you should have forgiven, but it's hard to do. When I'm thankful and I'm appropriately grateful to God, it seems like it greases the wheels a little bit. I can show my gratitude to them a little bit easier. I can show my gratefulness to God when I serve in God's church. I love how Ron said it just a moment ago. Leaving a church but not the church. And as part of the church, we will be together again. And I get to do that. I'm going to serve in His church. Find something to do. Be able to be counted on. Be faithful to Him. One of the things I've appreciated so much about the two treasures I've got to serve with is their faithfulness. And they've gotten things done. And so much. And Brother Presley and now Miss Glenda. And I've told her several times that it's going to be an awful commute for you back and forth from Arkansas. And she said, no, I want to do that. How many of you think people being faithful and showing up and doing what they're asked to do, how many think that's a rare commodity in 2018? Can't hire them? Can't find them? You think it's bad in the business world? To serve. Serve. To share. And you share His plan of salvation. Nothing says I'm grateful like what? Let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me tell you how God saved me. Let me tell you what God did in my heart. Let me tell you what God did in His heart. You can show your gratitude when you reach out to hurting people. When you reach out to hurting people. Here's where we mess this. Here's where we mess this. We go, well, that's not my mess. I'm not talking about being nosy. I'm not talking about, I don't know them real well. I've been people that didn't know me real well were exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it. And broken people, by the way, most of the time use all the help we can get. Number six. Give God the best. I can show my thankfulness to God when I give my best of my time, my talent, my treasure. My time, my talent, my treasure. Give God your best. Give God your best. Give God your best. We're trying to go through things at the house and get a bunch of stuff, take down the car and been in the house a couple years now. We hadn't used it. It don't need to be there. I can't bear the thought of somebody cold out there doesn't have good socks. I got extra pairs in a drawer. I just can't. I can't do it in my life at this point. I can't think that way. I can't. We cleaned out all our coats last year. I couldn't dare think I got coats in a closet I'm not wearing. Somebody out there freezing. I want to give God. If I can have sympathy on somebody, I can definitely have gratitude toward a God who gave me all that stuff to give away to start with. Your best, your time, talent, treasure, and then last, I'm done. When I praise Him enthusiastically from my heart, I sing the mighty power of God and worship at His throne. See, that's not my kind of music. It's a great kind of music, though, because it says the right thing, right? I worship Him with my eyes and my ears and my mouth. I worship Him with my hands and with my body. And I praise Him because of who He is, because of what He's done and what He's doing in me. Everybody's got their own personality. I'm not saying worship like me. I'm saying to worship. To worship. To learn the song. To practice songs. Rehearse the song. To be ready as you come in here. To ask God to use you. And the best you know how, man, to sing. Years and years ago, we had a new song leader at the church I was at. And years and years ago. And he said, everybody ought to sing. Said, if you can't sing, you can smile. There's a man sitting on the second row. He's chairman of the deacon board. He could not hit a note with a shotgun. And he sat there, and when he heard him say that, he just smiled real big. And where we were sitting, about half the congregation could see him. And for the first time, you kind of saw him. He kind of did one of these. He kind of opened his hands, and he smiled real big because he was so embarrassed of his voice. And I chuckled at that thought in my mind and all. And he would sing occasionally, but he was just having a little fun with the song leader. And I'm tickled. Man, I get to praise Him from my heart. Let me help you. That ought not to just be here. I ought to be easy to praise Him out there. Amen. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for what you're doing and what you've done and what you will continue to do. So, preacher, what's the title? The Most Wonderful Time of the Song is the Year, isn't it? May I offer you from Psalm 107? It should be the most wonderful time of the day, because every day is a day I can praise the Lord. You wait one time a year, I don't think you understand what it means to be thankful. The most wonderful time of the day is a day that I get, any time of the day, that I get to thank God. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness and kindness to us.